So, weather doesn't stop us, but we are able to share, and I'm glad that we're able to share through the word, through multiple platforms, and it'll allow us the chance to continue to be about our mission. We are in a series on the south side of Columbus entitled New Season, New Identity out of Romans 8. And we are dealing with this morning Romans 8, 18 through 30. Romans 8, 18 through 30. And we are coming out of the Message translation. I'm going to read the text, and then we're going to try to go and dive in, and hopefully we will be able to be a blessing in some way, shape, or form. So the word reads out of Romans 8, 18 through 30. I know it seems a little long, but the Message translation is a solid one for our consideration. That's why I don't think there's any comparison between the present hard times and the coming good times. The created world itself can hardly wait for what's coming next. Everything in creation is being more or less held back. God reigns it in until both creation and all the creatures are ready and can be released at the same moment into the glorious times ahead. Meanwhile, the joyful anticipation deepens. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pangs. But it's not only around us, it's within us. The Spirit of God is arousing us within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting does not diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, do not see what is enlarging us, but the longer we wait, the larger we become, and the more joyful our expectancy. Meanwhile, the moment we get tired in the waiting, God's Spirit is right alongside helping us along. If we don't know how or what to pray, it doesn't matter. He does our praying in and for us, making prayer out of our wordless sighs, our aching groans. He knows far better than us. He knows far better than we know ourselves, knows our pregnant condition, and keeps us present before God. That's why we can be sure that every detail in our lives, our love for God, is worked into something good. God knew what he was doing from the very beginning. He decided from the outset to shape the lives of those who love him along the same lines as of his son. The son stands first in the line of humanity restored. We see the original and intending shape of our lives, therefore, in him. After God made that decision of what his children should be like, he followed it up by calling people by name. After he called them by name, he set them on a solid basis with himself. And then after getting them established, he stayed with them to the end, gloriously completing what he had begun. I want to talk about hope and help concerning your promise. Hope and help concerning your promise. Hope and help concerning your promise. The beauty about preaching and teaching the gospel and engaging the word of God is the fact that we are able to extract from scripture so many things that are very applicable to our daily existence. And I've shared via Facebook and with other people about my personal transition back into focusing on full-time ministry and my excitement and a lot of my own now understanding of who I am and whose I am in God. It's a beautiful thing. And I can tell you from the bottom of my heart, it's a beautiful thing to be able to do what I've been called to do, meant to do, purpose to do. And to take it a step further, even though I've been in ministry for 20 years now, I can honestly say this is the first time that I'm really truly in the vein of what I'm purposed to do. Now, I'm not using myself to just talk about myself. I'm using this just to really share with you an understanding of what all of us may go through from time to time. So just stay with me for a minute. People know me as a storyteller, so let me tell it. I've shared that even with the different seasons of ministry that I've been in, different pastorates, different serving opportunities, there's been something within me always that has just been more and more wanting and needing and desiring to do the things of God on a different level. And not for my own purpose and not for my own ego, but because there's something within me that God gave me a long time ago that just seems to just not let me go. Have you ever been in a place where you're on your job, you're working, you're diligent to your work, you are committed to your work, you're committed to doing everything you can for God, and it just seems like something's just pulling on you. You don't feel like you're just satisfied. You don't feel like you are getting enough satisfaction out of what you're doing. The paycheck ain't even really moving you anymore. And you may be getting paid well, but something just ain't really going. You got something in there and you just can't get it. You're like, you got dreams, you got aspirations, you got all this stuff in you. You got hope, you got all kind of ideas, you got $1 million ideas, ministry ideas, you have outreach ideas, you have community ideas, you got all this stuff in there, and somehow you just feel like you're just going through all kind of turmoil because it just won't get out. Man, that felt good to even say. But can I share with you that feeling that restlessness, all that is not the worst thing in the world? Can I even share with you that deep wrestling is probably the best thing that's ever happened to you? And you know why? Because when we have been brought in by Christ, when we are now changed, and when we are now functioning in the fullness of that salvation experience, in the fullness of that redemption experience, there are certain things that just don't give you that feeling no more. So, you begin to discover things about yourself. You begin to discover that there are certain things that money can't buy. There are certain things that a paycheck can't subdue and can't satisfy. You find out that doing church like normal just won't do. I love the Lord. I love to shout. I love to holler. You know, every once in a while, you'll catch me on a Baptist hoop. You'll catch me on a Pentecostal holler. I might even throw one back one time and may even fall out in praise and worship. But every now and then, there's something that even the worship experience on a Sunday won't satisfy. And it's partly because there is more to God and more to my journey than just 1 2-hour or less pocket of time. God has placed something within you that just won't let you go. But then you're approached by life. You're approached by life. And life tells you that, yeah, it's great that you love Jesus. It's great that you love the Lord. But if you ever got loose, if you ever experienced this thing, man, your freedom would be my pain. Wow. Life, the enemy, whatever, doesn't want you to live in that fullness. So you are running up against two things. One, having all that God has meant for you to have and then some. And then on the other side of it, you are in a clash with life, people's opinions, personalities, everything. And you're over here, as the text would suggest, pregnant with possibility. It's painful. I never want to be that human being that says, what would it be like if? Let me tell you what I mean. I remember when my wife was pregnant with CJ. It's a funny story now. My wife going through all kind of things, and I was getting ready to go about my day, and she was basically down to the last few weeks, and she looked at me with her loving eyes, and only she could look at me. She said, baby, I need you to do me a favor. I was like, what are you talking about, baby? What do you need? And she said, I need you to go downstairs, and I need you to get the frying pan. I was like, what are you talking about? I was like, you know, make you some eggs, something. She's like, no, I want you to go downstairs. I want you to get the frying pan. And when you get that frying pan, you bring that thing up here and just hit me upside my head, because this is just miserable. And I said, first of all, we ain't going out like that, because, just not going to do that. And number two, man, that's miserable. Pregnancy, even though it brings about an expected joyful end, the process can be brutal. Something that has so much potential and promise can become brutal in that process, because you're just like, when is it going to end? When's the stretching going to end? When's the change going to end? When's the pain going to end? When's the suffering going to end? Think about what you're going through right now. You're not even completely into the things you want to be, and you've asked yourself a million times, when's it going to end? When's it going to stop? When's the pain going to stop? When's the hurting going to stop? When are folk going to stop using me? When are people going to stop doing all this stuff to me? When am I going to stop doubting myself? When am I going to stop walking in fear? When? And by that time, you feel hopeless. You feel out of luck. But can I tell you something? From the bottom of my heart, with open honesty and realness, I've been there. I've been living it. And when I wrote what I wrote, and as I share what I share, can I tell you that there is yet not just hope, but there's help. See, here's the thing. And this is not even like I normally preach. So I'm more in my element. It's more teaching. So just take what you can get from this. People have hope, but sometimes don't have no help. Or they got help, but no hope. In situations where you are being stretched and you're being changed and you're being molded into something new, God gives you both to work together. So it helps you navigate through the spaces that just the common phrases just won't get you through. Yes, I know the Lord will take care of me. Yes, I know the Lord will work it out for me. Yes, I know the Lord loves me. Yes, I know he cares. Yes, I know if I pray that God will hear me. Yes, I know all that. But sometimes with all that knowledge, you can still feel hopeless. You can still feel hopeless even though you got $1 million in the bank and you just don't know what to do with it, because now you have what you never had and you don't even know how to fool with it. Now, there's all kinds of things that exist. You can have no hope and have all the help in the world. You got people at your disposal. You got gifting at your disposal. You got all this stuff at your disposal and you still feel hopeless. Or you got hope, but don't know how to tap into no help. It's a stretch. It pushes you. Paul says, in essence, here's the condition you're in. With change, we're not even into the points, but I'm just trying to deal with the text a little bit. With the changes of your life, with being redeemed, with Christ redeeming you, with now having a new outlook on life, you are now pregnant with something different. And let me tell you, not only you, but your environment. When Christ did what he did, it changed the literal landscape of everything in human history, in the earth and everything like that. The earth is going through birth pains. It has to birth something different. That's why when you look around and you see all the things that are going on, as negative as they are, from leadership in Washington to a government shutdown to people still being mistreated and being used like pawns in a game, this is not unusual. Birth pains, pain, discomfort to birth something different. Wow. So we're not in a season where we're dealing with stuff by accident. It is to birth something different. So right now, the discomfort of seeing people being treated horribly and being treated like garbage and all that kind of stuff in the earth is supposed to push out of us something different. And in the same way, you're not going through what you're going through for nothing. It is to birth something different and new. And it's supposed to create something on the inside of you to see something different than what it is right now. And even beyond that, Paul says, while we're going through that process, we have to deal with our potential weariness, which means that we have to get on our prayer ground. I know I read out a different translation, but I learned the scripture so long ago, and it was something that carried me through. Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we don't know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searches the heart knows the mind of the Spirit, because it makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to his purpose. For who he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. We are in a space where we have to get now to a place where, in the process of the birthing and in process of what we're struggling with, in the process of the pain and the suffering and everything like that, we got to know that there's not only something yet to come, but we got to know how to navigate through this thing until we arrive at the end result, all things working together. So how do we arrive at that place? This is not going to take too long. I'm almost finished. We need some tools for some hope and some help. Hope and help. Here we go. The tools to get us to the next place in God, the tools necessary to get us to the promise of God, are these three. Number one, you got to have perspective. You got to have perspective. You got to have perspective. Virtually look at somebody and say perspective. perspective. Everything that we're going through cannot be compared to what shall come. Everything that I am dealing with now cannot match up to what is going to happen in the future. Perspective. So, when I look back over my life and I look back at my situation and circumstance, when I look back at my own personal journey, a few years ago, I could not have imagined. I could not have imagined a few years back coming back home, being in this space, and necessarily pastoring again after not getting an immediate chance when it seemed like it was coming. You couldn't have told me. And why? Not because my gifting lacked or my this or my that, but because it felt like I was starting all over again. Can I share with you? I worked in warehouses. I was lifting boxes. I was unloading planes. I was doing all kind of stuff. Then I was in call center, and then I ended up being in another one. And most people would say, why were you doing the things that seem beneath you? You have all this education. Well, can I share with you that along with my own journey, there were those that were discounting everything about who I was in God because I was no longer in a position that people deemed to be to my potential. But if I go deeper and reflect before I came home, there were many that did not understand that God had placed in me so much more than just occupying a role in the local church. That God gave me something that bothered me. It's a good thing, but it bothered me. Where it was like, I don't want to just be in the four walls. I want to be in every aspect of where God has planted. And when people can't see that within you, they decide on their own. They decide on their own that now you're messed up and broken goods because you don't match what seems to be the prototype for this thing. And for anybody that's in here that happens to be a preacher in here, let me share this with you. Every preacher won't be a pastor. Every preacher won't be a pastor. There are great evangelists that can tell it. There are great outreach people that can tell it. There are all kind of people that have giftings and skills within them. There are people that have the fivefold ministry that works. There are people that have all these different giftings inside of them, but you cannot continue to allow yourself to be limited when God has made you pregnant with possibility. So, these light afflictions, these light moments, these hard moments, these challenging seasons are to what? Work out what's in there. It ain't gonna come out just because you pray well. It ain't gonna come out of you and be birthed out of you just because you know how to sing. It's not gonna come out of that. My pastor would probably tell me something to this effect, and if I remember correctly from a few years back at Christmas Eve, he said something to this effect. You can't preach until you got some blood in it, until you've gone through some pain. You can't really tell nothing until you have gone through something. And when you have gone through something, it automatically pushes out of you what has always been in there. No woman that's ever had a baby has ever gone through the pregnancy process without having some pain. My God, you cannot go through and become all that you're meant to be without some pain. And I'm not saying that God is a masochist. I am saying that you, by default, because you love God and because you know who God is to you, you are automatically marked. So let me tell you something. The perspective is, in this moment, I could be catching all kind of hell, but guess what? When I look down the line, I see something greater than the hell I'm going through. Because when I come out, I'm not going to come out, as one of my sisters would say, looking like what I've been through. Perspective. My pain is the indication that I am what? Pregnant with something. My season of discomfort is saying that I cannot become at ease where I am, but I got to move forward, because the perspective is, today is not everything, but there is still tomorrow. Second thing, number two, you got to have expectation. Expectation, expectation, expectation. Expectation. You need to expect something. Come on. We in the room. Look. Expectation. Tell somebody. Expectation. Expectation. Let me look at the text. All around us, we observe a pregnant condition. Okay? All around us, this is 22 through 25, Message Translation. All around us, we observe a pregnant creation. The difficult times of pain throughout the world are simply birth pain. Okay, we're in it. But it's not only around us, it's within us. Right? The Spirit of God is arousing within. We're also feeling the birth pangs. These sterile and barren bodies of ours are yearning for full deliverance. That is why waiting doesn't diminish us any more than waiting diminishes a pregnant mother. We are enlarged in the waiting. We, of course, don't see what is enlarging us. So we can't see what, we can't see it. We can't visually see it, right? We don't see what's enlarging us, but the longer we wait, here comes it, the larger we become and the more joyful our expectancy. Check this out. My expectation moves to another level as I recognize that I'm being stretched. Because my stretching is the indication that something is happening. I cannot always see what it is that's growing, but I know that as I see my stretching or feel the discomfort or feel the pulling, I know something is coming about, which means that I am not just getting larger for the sake of being larger, but I am being processed in order to give birth to something that will not only enhance me, but enhance where I am. So the more I wait, And the more I see my situation or what's in me stretch, the more my mind begins to change and recognize that something is coming about. It is not accidental. It is not accidental that you are feeling what you're feeling. It is because God wants to work a thing in you, through you, for you, that will ultimately take you to another place. Okay, the hardest thing in the world to deal with is someone telling you that all you are is what they've always known you as. Okay? Growing up in the city of Columbus all my life, this is home. You know, this is, you know, I didn't just show up to Columbus. This is home. I'm literally in the TV room of the house that I grew up in. I'm not new to this. I'm not new to this. Eastsider all my life. Graduated from East High. Columbus Public School product. You know. Grew up in the Mount Olivet Baptist Church. Downtown Columbus. 428 East Main Street. I'm not new to this. People that have watched you grow, that have watched you develop, that have engaged you in conversations and have engaged you in a certain way in life, they know you according to wherever they have freeze-framed you. But everybody has not grown with you. In other words, just because you knew me then does not mean you know me now. Step further. You may think that I'm spiritually fat because I look a certain way to you through your own level of spirituality. But what you may not realize is that I'm actually pregnant with something that is going to blow your mind. But because you have freeze-framed me in a certain light, you can't recognize what's growing within me. And can I go one more step? And this one's for free. And you share this with your friends that keep on trying to tell you about who you know when it comes to Jesus. Everybody don't really know Jesus like that. Because if everybody really knew, they would recognize that there are ways that God will grow you that go way beyond just the norm. I shared this Wednesday night. Plug, Wednesday night Bible study, 6:45. But everybody can't see who you are because they will freeze you. So there are people that I grew up with. I grew up with them. They were my best friends. You hear me? And even to this day, I'll still, if they see me in the street, they my people, man. Don't get it twisted. They my people. But they'll freeze frame me according to when we were 15. Dog, I'm 37 years old. I got a wife, I got a 4-year-old son, and 4 degrees, and a lot of bills. I am not that dude. I didn't have this beard when I was 15. I didn't have this gray when I was 15. I didn't have the responsibilities that I had at 15. But people will freeze frame you and act as if you're still there. And you have gone way beyond that in Christ, in living, in experiences, and all that kind of stuff. Man, I have traveled the world. I've preached in other parts of the world. I've done all kind of stuff. And people will still freeze frame the 15-year-old. Man, I have grown since then. And guess what? You have too. And you can see it by what God is doing in you. And when God is doing something in you, you begin to recognize, like, oh my God, I am not, what is going on? a few weeks, it's scary. But then you get into it, it's like, wait a minute, this is real. And then the next thing you know, you feel that thing kick. And then all of a sudden, you're like, wait a minute. I know that ain't, that's not eating, that's not this. There is something within growing. And now you've gotten to the end of the journey, and you have become so pregnant with the thing, you're saying to yourself, I don't know what to do, but I am so excited about what's going to happen. I'm uncomfortable, I'm hot, I'm this, I'm that, I can't be around the same old folk. But you're able to just say, my God, I can't wait until it comes. That's where you are. God is ready to birth something in you and bring it out of you. But it raises your level of expectation. You got to make it through the process so you can see what's coming. Which leads me to the last thing, and I'm through. Last thing that you need to get to the promise is a prayer language. You need a prayer language. So hear me. Prayer language. I am not in the debate about tongues or regular English. That's not what this point is about. Let me take you one more step on that too. If you're wretched and ratchet and trying to speak in tongues and you can't even get basic stuff right, don't tell me about it. Do well in English first. Praise the Lord. We all got to grow. We all got to develop. But don't get so holy that you start talking about one extreme and you can't even be on a basic level. And you still got to grow. Amen. Prayer language. Likewise, regular text, regular English text, not just this one. Likewise, the Spirit helps our weaknesses, for we don't always know what to pray. But the Spirit intercedes. The Spirit intercedes with groanings, pains that can't be uttered. Have you ever been in a spot where your prayer went simply like this? Where your prayer was just simply, where your prayer was just Jesus. Where your prayer was just, help me. Where your prayer was just, you need to have that language. Because you're not always going to be articulate enough. You're not always going to be intelligent enough to articulate what you're feeling. Because guess what? Everybody don't know what they're feeling half the time. You don't, I don't. There's don't even try. Don't even try. Just, it don't always happen that way. You just like, someone got on your nerves, you just like, my Lord, I need to keep my job. I need to keep paying my bills. Some of your family members, you just like, Lord, if they don't get out of my house right now, we going to have a problem, and I don't need another incident going on. You get to a place where you have said to yourself, I just can't do this. And here comes God. Can I tell you as a testimony, it's not my only one, but just this one, the reason I shout about the fact that I'm able to serve God now in a way I've never served them before. It's not because I was appointed to two churches. It's not because the DS and the bishop said it was you all right to be in these spots. It's none of that. But I'm so grateful. I'm so grateful because God didn't have to do it. So why would I not call his name when I'm going through trouble? Why wouldn't I call on him when I'm feeling anxious, when I'm feeling insecure at times, when I'm feeling like I don't know if I can make it or I can survive? You need to have this thing happen. You need to be able to say, Lord, help me, because I don't know if I can make it. Even when you're confident in your ability to make it, you should still be able to say, you know what, Lord, help me. Hold me. Help me through. And I promise you this, when you begin to pray, and I'm not talking about no Abraham, Isaac, Jacob prayer. I'm talking about when you begin to pray, saying, God, I need you. Watch how God will show up. Watch how he'll come. I mean, watch him. Show enough, watch him. Watch him make a way. Watch him open the door. Watch him do what nobody else can do. Watch him. I'd blow the roof off my house right now if I could, but I'm telling you, watch him move. And when God moves, it'll blow your mind. It'll just blow your whole existence. You'll just be like, I can't believe this has happened. But you know when your prayer language really works, and I'm done, it's when you're really at the point of giving birth. Come on, ladies that may have been in the position to push. Here it is. Now it's time. Now the season's come. Now you're getting ready to give birth to it. So now you got to call on the Lord in a way you've never called on him. And while you calling, he's saying push. While you're trying to figure out how this thing's going to work, he says push. And then guess what happens? You keep pushing and God keeps present. You keep pushing and God stands by your side. You keep pushing and God is right there saying, I'm not going to leave you until this thing comes forth. And when it comes forth, it's better than you expected. So while I'm in the process, I got hope. My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. Dare not trust the sweetest frame of holy lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. So not only is he my hope, he's my help. My help in ages past, my hope for years to come. When you push, everything that God promised comes forth. And when it comes forth, you got a reason to shout and thank him for all that he's done and all that he will do. You got hope and you got help. Your promise is coming. Your promise is coming.